You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
And a kind of mom nigga gives you.
We're adding a little something to this month's sales contest. As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize, a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired. You get the picture? You laughing now? You got leads. Mitch and Murray paid good money. Get their names to sell them. You can't close the leads you're given. You can't close shit. You are shit. Hit the bricks, pal, and beat it, because you are going out.
The leads are weak.
The leads are weak. Fucking leads are weak. You're weak. I've been in this business 15 years.
What's your name?
Fuck you. That's my name. You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW. That's my name.
How's it going, guys? Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out with Drewster Cogburn, Drew Ounsegovin.
Who the fuck are you?
I'm Chris Crespo on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo.
Okay.
And you're on Twitter at?
@Tahir419.
That's right, yeah. You passed my test.
Did I pass your test? That was a test? That was a shitty test.
And yet, you took it.
Well, I didn't have a choice.
And then you passed it. Certificate's in the mail.
Fuck.
And then you're going to frame it. And hang it up. I already know.
Great. One more certificate. Just what I fucking need.
Fatality.
That took too long.
I did. Because it wasn't working. I was wondering why it wasn't. It's been a long day.
You need to get better at this.
Guys, it's been a long day. And for both of us, we're doing our own thing. Drew has a shirt with a bunny with a bloody mouth. And it's... where is it? Run away. Monty Python reference.
Thank you.
Monty Python reference, everyone.
It's a Run DMC spoof.
It's a Run DMC spoof with the Monty Python reference all wrapped up into one. That's the kind of day that's been going on.
Sometimes you get the bunny. Sometimes the bunny gets you, Chris.
Finish him.
That was a little better.
He's got sharp pointy teeth. Never forget that shit.
Just, if you meet a wizard named Tim.
No, an enchanter. I am the enchanter. They call me Tim.
You're correct. I got it. It's been a while since I watched that movie. When was the last time I've seen Monty Python?
I mean, there was...
Over 10 years, I think.
I mean, it's probably been over 10 years for me as well, but there was a point in time where I swear to God I probably watched that movie once a month.
It was the one of the first two. I bought two DVDs at the same time, my first two. One was the Fight Club. Two-disc special edition. Still got it.
The Monty Python.
Monty Python.
You know, that's a great first two DVDs. It really is.
And they both were, like, loaded with special features that made them, like, totally worthwhile, worth their money, and very rewatchable. And, but the disc two of my Monty Python DVD got lent it to Billy D up in New York City. Statue of limitations has passed on this story. Statue of limitations. It's been a long day, guys. And I'm drinking. What a shock. What a... Chris is drinking. Oh, my God.
So you left it to Billy, and it's gone.
No, not gone. Gone, but there's a reason. There's all... No. So he lent it to him. He watched it. And then, you know, you get sloppy with your movies. I totally get the... Uh-huh. I do the same thing. Yeah. He puts in another disc in the DVD player. Monty Python is... facing up, you know, so that the shiny side, the correct, but it's on top of his machine. Uh-huh. It's under the TV. It's a Friday or Saturday night. He has a party. Bunch of people over at his place.
I was probably at that party.
Someone.
You were probably at that party.
I was not at that party. I was not there. I was not. But because I know what happened there. So someone threw up in the living room, was it him? I don't know. Better for a story to say that. It was him. Threw up in the living room on the DVD player on top of the DVD, on top of the Monty Python DVD, and had blue vomit all over because there were blue based drinks and the Monty Python 2 disc. This would be gone forever. That's why it's gone.
These things happen.
I had no plans to talk about that at all, but your shirt.
Yeah. Brings up memories.
Oscars.
What about him?
This weekend. Let's talk about it. Spill over bonus episodes where we're going to talk about movie news. The Oscars is this weekend, so there's a couple of Oscar stories out there. Hollywood Reporter.
Bunch of douchebags.
A bunch of douchebags.
Fake news. Fake news, Chris.
Hashtag fake news. Hashtag fake movie news. Hashtag fake Trump's movies? America. Hashtag America KKKA. America with three Ks.
Hashtag fake movies.
Hashtag fake movies. Hashtag
all the movies are fake.
White genocide. Hashtag all the movies are fake. Hashtag Melissa McCarthy for president. Hollywood Reporter reported on a survey conducted by the National Research Group. This survey was about the Oscars specifically. And this is found some interesting things. I'm seeing if I can get a survey number. It's all right, here we go. Something's shaking. You hear that shaking? What's that? Here we go. Fix that. You didn't hear it? It was like boom, boom, boom. I think it was this microphone. It was a little close there. The pop screen. Survey conducted by National Research Group earlier this month that conveys a variety of topics as possible. 6 out of 10 people on the street don't know who the nominees are when it comes to Best Picture. And even when prompted by the film's title, could not recognize that a film had received the nomination. Here we go. Example: La La Land was the movie that most people were able to name. 32% of respondents could name La La Land. 19% were able to name Fences, and Hell or High Water. Only 5% of people respondents could.
A lot of people didn't see a lot of these movies.
Yeah, but they're all, these are like Oscar, but these are the Best Picture nominees, though.
Yeah, I know. It's because they're the best movies that got made.
Less than 30% of people asked had seen Arrival, which seems like a more popular movie, and only 25% had seen Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah.
However,
I only missed one of them, Lion. I never saw Lion.
I haven't seen Lion either. Just talking to Johnny the Hater about it, he seemed to like it quite a bit.
That's what everybody says.
He's very into it.
I'm allowed to miss one movie a year, damn it, right?
Hey, it's fine. I still, yeah.
Can't fucking take it. Too many movies.
So many goddamn movies. This is interesting, though. The same survey found this bit of information. All these people don't know what any of these movies are. Can't even, if you ask them, like, have you seen Lion? They're like, what? It's like Billy on the Street when he's running around. He walks
Billy
up
the street, 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 street.
Billy on the Street. Little tiny one.
So awful.
I just want to get a little tiny one in there. While that seems like all these people are totally checking out on Hollywood, like boo hoo, we're done with movies, etc. That's not exactly what's going on here.
No, I read the box office numbers every week. People are still watching movies.
People are still going to see movies. That's correct, Drew.
Just not the ones that are nominated for Oscars.
We're in the know. This is good news for the Academy of Motion Pictures of Arts and Sciences, aka the Academy. Of the people polled, 70%, 7 out of 10 people still plan to watch the show. So most of them can't name any of the movies.
Nope.
But they plan on watching the show.
Yeah, yeah. So that way, after they find out what's the best movie of the year, they can go and watch it. And be like, eh.
Some people, people used to do that, I think, more before the Best Picture, like before the Oscars. They'd see what was nominated, and then in those weeks, would try to catch up. But it seems like now maybe people are just waiting for, they just want to see the winner.
Yeah.
Another poll. This one, again, the National Research Group, is probably the same poll, it's just a separate section of it. Broke it down by political leanings, Trump voters versus Hillary voters. A pool of 800 respondents.
None of those Trump people saw Moonlight.
Good chance that. Within the margin of error, a few people saw it. I would even say they may have even identified with it. That movie is strangely crosses boundaries, it would seem. 2/3 of Trump voters in the past have turned off their TVs because an actor would give a political speech during their
Get ready for that.
Yes, exactly, Drew. That's what this poll's mostly about. There's an infographic here. This is again on THR. They broke it down this way. 79% of Clinton voters plan to watch this year's ceremony, compared with 66% of Trump voters.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is outside the Super Bowl, the number two most watched live event on TV every year. Which of the following words, phrases do you think apply to award show speeches, Trump voters? Funny, they do the word bubble, word cloud thing. Funny, out of touch, touching, inspirational, too political, boring, phony, long. Clinton voters, too political, still. It's a smaller too political, though, much smaller. Long, boring, inspirational, touching, funny, phony, out of touch. When asked which nominee they'd pick to be the best picture winner, who do you think Trump voters' number one pick? Of all the best nominees, just eight of them, nine of them. Which one would the Trump voters say?
They probably didn't see it. Maybe Hell or High Water. Sounds like a movie for them.
You would think so, right? 26% of respondents said La La Land was the favorite to win, followed by Hacksaw Ridge at 21%. Hacksaw Ridge. Clinton voters, 27%, said Hidden Figures.
Interesting.
We come out on top with 20% going to La La Land. Et cetera, et cetera. There's other things like that on there. People can just check that out. You see that picture of the Han Solo?
Yes.
From the Han Solo set?
Yes.
It's the Millennial Falcon is the smaller... It's like the prequel to Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
It's before they added like the extra... It's a smaller version of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
It hates everything. It's so snarky. Mm-hmm. And it takes everything for granted. Mm-hmm. It's entitled, right? What else about millennials? And it likes hovercrafts. It likes Pokemon Go for 1 month.
Yep. Oh, man. Do you remember that? Do you remember that craze?
I mean, July of 2016?
What the fuck happened to that?
I don't know. I didn't get in on it. it went by too fast before I could even get my first coughing. That's a thing, right?
I have no idea.
It's been like 20 years since I watched a Pokemon thing. Chewbacca. Right, he's in that mm-hmm. picture.
Yeah.
For the new young Han Solo.
So, young Chewbacca, so who's the new guy in the suit? Or is it still old guy in the suit?
Drew, that's exactly what I'm getting at. First off, for The Force Awakens, Star Wars, that came out before Chewbacca was in it, Peter Mayhew, mm-hmm. the original Chewbacca, is in that suit.
Yeah.
For much of the movie.
Yes.
However, for more of the physical stuff, more of the running around.
Oh, man.
Yes, exactly.
And a heavy suit, I'm sure.
Exactly. Jonas Suotomo
is
the guy who helped out, who helped fill in for the older Peter Mayhew.
So is he the new Chewbacca?
He's Chewbacca 100% in the Han Solo movie, while Peter Mayhew is still doing Episode 8, The Last Jedi, and presumably Episode 9 as well.
Yeah.
So, we got to now... We got two Han Solos working the same side of the street. Not Han Solo, because now, spoiler alert for the two people who haven't seen...
Yeah, the last Star Wars, Han Solo's dead.
Han Solo is dead, but now we got the young one, Alden Ehrenreich, with a crazy name. We got some cast news here for sequels. Godzilla 2.
Okay.
All right, already Godzilla 2 announced recently from Stranger Things, Millie Bobby Brown... 11, the girl.
Okay.
She's in first person announced as in the cast of Godzilla 2.
Okay.
Kyle Chandler. Yes. Just on Bloodline in Netflix. He was in Friday Night Lights. This guy here. What else was this guy? This guy's just, he was just in Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
He's not Ron Livingston, the guy from Swingers.
Correct.
That's how I thought of him for a while. He has just been cast as young Millie Bobby Brown's father. So we had a father-daughter team ready for Godzilla 2. Also confirmed coming back from the first movie, Ken Watanabe returning as Dr. Ishiro Serizawa.
Sweet.
The only returning character from the first
Everybody Godzilla. Else is like, no thank you, or...
They're all dead, or I mean, Aaron Taylor-Johnson was just a random soldier character. No need for him to come back. Brian Cranston's dead.
So is his wife.
So, he's the only one that needs to come back. I really hope that King Kong mid-credit scene is like a direct Godzilla tie-in, but like in a cool way, you know, but not just like, what, just show him or something? I don't know. It's also a weird time period thing. The Godzilla movie we saw, the one that we got the poster there on the wall that you can barely see under everything else. I mean, that was like a modern set movie. The year that movie is like 20, whatever. The King Kong movie is specifically a late 60s, early 70s set movie.
Yes.
So what could they have in the like bonus scene? Is it something that would be
something
set during,
in between?
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Either an in-between or something that references King Kong in nowadays.
Right. Something like weird. Oh, yeah. Right? No. King Kong 20 years later, 30 years later. We'll see. The other movie, other sequel, getting a cast update, The Predator. Already's got a crazy cast, first off. Shane Black tweeted a picture. You can follow Shane Black on Twitter, at BonafideBlack. Check out this picture, Drew, of the cast. Oh, here we go.
It'll rotate.
Yes, there we go. See, you can... Who can you identify in that picture?
Oh, it's that guy. And her.
What?
That doesn't help the people listening to the show, Drew. You gotta identify the people.
I mean, that's...
I'll spit my drink over everything.
See, I have a problem with people's names.
Well, then describe
fucking
them.
Shit.
Describe them.
What? One of the guys from Key and Peele. I forget which one.
Keegan-Michael Key.
Keegan-Michael Key, which...
The tall, skinny one. Yeah. Which is, what is he doing in The Predator?
Yeah, well, no, exactly, but...
Shane Black is a very funny dude.
Sure. Well, no, exactly. Comedy. And, Olivia Munn.
Olivia Munn, yes, who also is a walker of both worlds in comedy and drama. And action. She's on
this
action
this guy
now.
In the middle, he looks like the bad guy from the Wolverine movie.
That's Lloyd.
From Logan.
That's Lloyd Holbrook. That's the guy who replaced Benicio del Toro. Imagine that picture of Benicio del Toro in the middle.
Oh, please.
Right? Yes, Queen, exactly.
And then we've got...
Funny, recognize that guy.
We've got Old Chiron.
Yes, Trevante Rhodes, the dude from Moonlight. Yep.
And, man, the guy on the left looks familiar.
I don't know what else
but
he's
from. But definitely
from.
Not with a mustache.
He's the black guy from Office Christmas Party that's not Courtney B. Vance.
Okay, sure.
You're that cat. You're a stupid cat. Smack that cat around. Psh, psh, psh. And also, you missed the kid in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob Tremblay, the kid from The Room. He's in that movie as well. Get that out of here. Go back to the story. They added another cast member. Also, on top of all these people already announced in this movie, who else? The Thomas Jane, and where's the other one? There's another name in here. Anyway, too many people. It's stupid. And then they added Alfie Allen. They added Alfie Allen to the cast, Drew. Alfie Allen is this guy from Game of Thrones. That guy.
Oh, okay, cool.
Theon.
Is he gonna get his balls ripped off by the Terminator? By the Predator.
The Predators. The Terminators are both gonna show up and rip his. They're gonna castrate him, and then they're gonna look at the camera, and in unison, all three of them, him, the Terminator, and the Predator, are gonna be like, "It's just like Game of Thrones." And be like,
and the movie ends.
Then the movie ends. And then it turns out that Benicio del Toro like pulled the plug on the movie. It gets very meta. It's like those Bugs Bunny cartoons or Daffy Duck where they interact with the person drawing the cartoon that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Very meta. Very, very, like this is your life. Martin Scorsese wants to make a big budget gangster movie. One more gangster movie. He's pushing. He's like 74, 75 now, you know? He's only got a few movies left. He's an old man, but he wants to make one more gangster movie with Robert De Niro.
Okay.
They got a book called I Heard You Paint Houses. Mm-hmm. They want to turn that in. That's a story that spans decades. They want Robert De Niro to play a character that is in his 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. How do you think they're going to do that?
I swear to God, if they do the young thing on him, I'm gonna fucking shoot myself in the face.
Whoa. Are we talking shotgun? I guess that might be easiest to get. Get one of those from Walmart.
The bloodiest and most head-exploding way possible.
Just definitely do this outside.
Oh, no. Let the city, right here in front of
no,
you.
No, let the city clean it up.
On the podcast.
Because...
Recorded live.
Oh, then you expect me to mix it down, normalize audio. Yeah.
All afterwards.
Dynamic processing.
Yes. While my headless corpse is sitting here.
Save as an MP3.
Yes.
Upload.
Uh-huh. And then call the police.
And then call the police. Well, I got some explaining to do. The cops are going to show up like, Lucy. Like, what? What did I do? Yes, because yes, sure. You're gonna. That's what they're doing. They're gonna de-age him.
So I'm gonna blow myself.
You're gonna blow yourself off. Correctly off. It's been a long day.
That did not sound good at all.
First off, it's $150 million budget that Scorsese is looking at to make this epic gangster movie. $150 million. A lot of that's gonna go into CGI of Robert De Niro.
How about get rid of Bobby D, and you can youngify Leonardo DiCaprio and make him older. Because you got him in the middle. How about that?
He's easier to youngify. Because seriously,
in all reality, Robert De Niro, you've had a great career. You've done some amazing things.
He stopped caring after 9/11.
I do not wish to see you in a movie ever again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I get it. He's done. He's been done with movies for a while. It's just a way for him to make money now. $150 million budget. I think Scorsese already has that lined up because Netflix is stepping up. And they're ready to pay $105 million to buy out the rights to the whole movie. And
Netflix presents Martin Scorsese's...
Put it out on Netflix.
Robert De Niro crap fest.
Presented to their 90-plus million viewers. Martin Scorsese's newest movie will be will debut on streaming content. Something weird about that. Right? Is that a weird thing? A Scorsese movie coming out on Netflix? Christopher Guest, I get it. That's one thing. But Martin Scorsese?
I know. That's... I almost say Scorsese should just go out on film. You know? Just
do
end it.
Just do it and then end it. And then kill yourself with Drew. As you both look at the footage of young CG De Niro.
Oh, God. It's going to be so awful. Because you know what's going to happen? The inevitable. We have pictures of young Robert De Niro.
So side by side.
We're going to be doing side by siding, and it's not going to match.
Yeah, we're still a number of years away from that. I mean, they're going to keep trying and keep pushing it, but we're still a while away. If they ever get it totally right, and if they do, man. I mean, why? Why even have people anymore?
Seriously.
The machines just kill all the humans and then make their own entertainment for each other. With...
I mean, they should, yeah.
Or is that what's happening right now?
I was trying to inhale for as long as I could, and you just fucking killed it.
It was under the button that said drama. I hit the wrong button. James Mangold is the director of Copland.
Yes.
And other movies.
Yes.
As well as The Wolverine. Yeah, a bunch of other movies. 3:10 to Yuma. Okay, that's sure. Another one. 3:10. Yeah. All right. Uh-huh, okay. You want more? Come on, guys. It's James Mangold did all those. He also did The Wolverine, and he's got Logan coming up, right? He's done two Wolverine movies now. For some reason, whatever, someone asked him about the old blue and yellow suit. And how come he hasn't put Wolverine in that suit?
Because it looks dumb.
Yeah, I think it just looks dumb. He gave a more diplomatic answer. I always feel a certain contingent of fans who are yearning for it. But the biggest block I've had, I'm willing to take the heat for it, is that I can never get past being a writer for these movies as well, that Logan is the least narcissistic of the superheroes. Any kind I can think of, Marvel, DC, or anywhere else, what I mean by that is, who puts a special branded outfit on when they do good deeds and why? The only reason you do it is so you can have some sort of trademarked claim and get credit for what you did. Nothing seems less Wolverine-like than the desire to put on a trademarked outfit, particularly canary yellow, and kind of prance about doing good deeds to have people go, oh my god, it's the Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it works for comic books. It's a superhero thing. I mean, I get it. You know, superheroes, they have silly costumes.
Yep.
But that works in the comic book world. When you translate that into movies, as the original X-Men trilogy showed us so well, those outfits look really silly.
They do look really silly. I think in the trailer they show him like looking at the comic book, and comic books, and it's blue and yellow. It's like, oh, this is silly. So
I forget what the line is, but it's like half of it's fantasy, the other half never happened.
Yeah, right. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Interesting tact
yes.
that they took with... I'm looking forward to this Logan movie.
Me too.
Much. Speaking of which, it appears that it does have some sort of bonus extra end credit, mid-credit scene. I'll tell you what, if it has the old, we're going to do some like credits, and then there's a scene, and then the traditional like scrolling of the end credits, I'd sit around for that. I ain't sitting around through all the goddamn end credits just to get to some bullshit at the end.
No, that may or may not be cool.
Yeah, Samuel Jackson with an eye patch and a towel wrapped around his waist walking down the hallway be like, you guys still here? The movie's over. The movie's over. The Hulk is out there. I'm putting together a team. Right?
And right.
We're over that stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's done. It's over with. Unless you want to start playing trailers at the end of movies. You want me to stick around through the credits, put the trailers at the end of movies? Drew, you're making a crazy face. But the reason why they call them trailers to begin with, they used to be played at the end of movies. You used to stay for the trailers afterwards. That's why they trail. They trailed the movies, trailers. Now the trailers are first.
Yeah, but we still call them trailers.
But we still call them trailers. We also still call them the silver screen. Nothing silver about them screens anymore.
Nope.
We also call it film. They ain't using film anymore.
Nope, digital projection.
We also call it life, but we know it's all a bunch of bullshit, right?
I mean,
or I might as well just be dead.
I mean, maybe a hologram.
There's no difference between life and dead, living and dead. We're born dead.
Oh, no, there better be.
We're born dead.
Oh, no, there better be, because if this just continues after, like if I just die and I wake up and it's all over again, I'm going to be really fucking angry.
It's possible, but you won't know, because it's like, you remember when it happened the first
time? No! I just want oblivion!
What if like your player just like he kicks the reset button on the Nintendo by accident?
Fuck you, asshole!
He's like, oh man, I gotta restart. I was doing pretty shitty. Let me retry.
Worst player ever.
I'm gonna try with the same settings.
I will find a way to end the madness.
That's what Elon Musk is trying to end the madness.
Break us out, man!
He's working on it. What if we break this out and then it's a Matrix situation where it's like a horrible hellscape that we would wish ignorance is bliss was Joey Pants' mantra as he ate that steak.
No.
Part of the deal was wiping his memory of all the Zion stuff.
No.
Keanu Reeves said something about Matrix 4 being like how he would do it. It's like, yeah, in these circumstances, I'd do a Matrix 4, but it's like, that's never going to happen. I can't even get a Bill and Ted 3 done. Couple quick TV news stories. Jimmy Kimmel, doing late night TV for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 3 years left on his current contract, hinting that he might be done.
Good. I never watched a single episode of his awful late night TV show.
I think both of Jimmy suck. I'm a Conan guy.
Yeah,
Stephen Colbert is great because it's just a Colbert Report. CBS told him he got to be less political. He tried it at first. He's like, fuck that. And he's going back to the political thing, and people are liking it more and more. His ratings are going up.
That's what we know him for. That's what he does.
That's what people want. That's what they want from him anyway.
No.
Jimmy Kimmel likes to throw it right down the middle. You know? It's a bunch of bullshit. And he says it's a lot of work. And his wife is pregnant. So he would like to... he might be pulling a Rick Moranis.
I'm just being like, peace!
Peace. I'm going to go raise my kids. I'm going to go have a family and spend my time with them instead of working a grind for a soul-sucking job where I got to sit down with Justin Bieber and be like, so what do you got going on? What's new with you?
Because I give a fuck.
Exactly. But he has to do that 5 days a week. Right. Every now and then he gets to sit down with someone cool, like a Harrison Ford or whatever, and you got to talk to him. But, you know, it's a lot of like...
Bullshit.
Here's a horrible person. Let's pretend that I like each other.
Hey, how's it going? I'm going to pretend to like you.
Jimmy Fallon's the worst about it. He may be sincere about it.
I think he is sincere. I think
he likes everyone.
He might have some sort of personality condition.
He
might be broken.
Like a backwards Asperger's where instead of like unemotional, he's overly emotional with everyone. He's like, I like everyone. Everyone likes me. It's like, oh, Donald Trump. I'll just ruffle his hair. Everyone likes the great dictator. I can't stand what he does. He may be a nice guy and all, but I cannot stand what he does. The game shows. People know I like game shows. Listen to this show. I mean, this is how I'm going to end the show. Talking about a game show producer, Drew, talked about one of the hardest things about being a game show host. What do you think it would be? Specifically, I'm going to give you examples of game shows this guy worked on. Let's Make a Deal and The Price is Right. What would be the toughest thing about hosting those shows? And this is coming from...
I have no idea.
Mike Richards, producer for long-running game shows, The Price is Right, And Let's Make a Deal says, quote, "You have to be able to manage the clock, manage the game, manage the tension. I'm not sure people fully grasp how Wayne Brady, has more than 200 deals to keep track of while taping Let's Make a Deal. And Drew Carey, has 77 different games he's got to be aware of during The Price is Right. A good host has to be really good, has to be a really good producer out there, so maybe that's why it's been relatively easy for me to make that transition," I guess, because he's talking about doing hosting the game show himself. So it's just all the moving parts and everything, and yeah. and knowing all the different things. Steve Harvey has these because he just has to show up with Alex Trebek too.
Yeah.
Trivia.
Show up, read the cards.
Show up, read the cards. Answers are provided to you. That's that trivia shit.
Have a nice day.
You gotta. That's just where it comes down to being personable, making sure you don't stumble through your sentences. I can do that.
Yes, you can.
I can do that.
And soon you will, Chris.
Soon I will be, as a matter of fact. So listen to episode 216 this weekend. Episode 216 this weekend, and we'll be telling you about how I'll be telling you about certain trivia opportunities hosted by someone we all know on this show. Not Drew.
That's not me.
We're going to be there, right, for support?
Oh, yeah. I'll support you from time to time.
Check out. Look at that. Look at that lineup of guests.
Yeah, I know.
Look at all those white dudes we got coming in the studio.
Number 221.
Well, one of them's a lady.
Number 221.
221.
You got to find somebody. I won't be here.
Oh, okay. Really?
Really.
Guest co-host?
Uh-huh.
Easy.
Good. 221.
Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me know. That's good to know. Show business done on show. That's how I like it. Oh, that's 30 minutes. Hey, we're out of here.
Hey, that's 30 minutes. Fuck you guys.
We're done. Drew, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Chris.
Thank you everyone for downloading. Listen, we appreciate it. We'll be back soon with another episode of Cinema Crespity. So, and then, you know, okay.